All right, welcome back to Three Man Weave. I'm here, Brendan McDermott, co-host with, obviously, Alex Regan, Andrew Root, and Enzo Micucci. We're here with an absolutely action-packed show, probably going to be the longest podcast we have ever had on Three Man Weave. We've got NBA playoffs, we've got full first-round mock drafts. You're not going to miss it. We're shutting off the NBA playoffs, began last night. Obviously, the Warriors losing and the Lakers winning. Warriors probably... big three is probably done. The reign of terror is over. Steph, Clay, and Draymond. War is most definitely over. Clay Thompson with the zero bomb. That was glorious. We love to see that.
He went 0 for 10, I saw.
Yep.
Over zero. Just Dot predicted last
0 points. I loved it. I was loving that game. But, you know, for the rest of the playoffs, we're started off with who do we have as our biggest upset? Who's the lower seed that's going to knock off the higher seed this year? Alex, start with you. Who is your biggest upset for the 2024 NBA playoffs?
I don't have a specific upset. I know that the play-in, I think that the Sixers are going to lose to the Heat. Heat are just a phenomenal playoff team. But if we're talking about an actual series, I'll just look at more or less the first round. Mm-hmm. I have the 6-seed Suns beating the 3-seed Timberwolves. I know that it's more even than people would expect, but I'm just more or less believing in the offensive firepower that they have, really, with Beal, Durant, and I don't know if... Are they all healthy?
I think they're all going to be healthy for the playoffs.
And as well as the Timberwolves, they're more of a defensive team, but they do have Ant, who is a beast. But I think that's the move there.
Mm, definitely. I can see that. Suns are definitely a dangerous team with those three. It could be really anyone.
Honestly, don't think, though, for the Suns. Like, I know this might be a hot take because I'm not debating Kevin Durant's talent, but look, he couldn't get it done in 2021 against the Celtics. He was on the Suns last year too.
Yeah,
they didn't win. Right, yeah, they bowed out first round. Right to the Mavs.
Yeah. He's been disappointing.
And it's like, I don't know if he's just too old now. I don't know if I think the problem with that team is, look, for Kevin Durant to be at his best, he's got to have the ball in his hands.
Mm.
Same thing with Devin Booker. Same thing with Bradley Beal.
Exactly.
And part of the problem last year was their bench. I think they revamped their bench. They're a lot deeper now. But still, I think you look at these teams that win, they have, you know, their primary guy with the ball, sometimes two, but mainly one guy that's going to take the shots, and the rest are going to kind of follow the lead and support him. That's why I don't like the Suns this year, and I have it for a little bit.
Mm. That's fair.
Yeah, I'll make my first round upset. I think the Suns are going to take that first round against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Wow.
Similarly to Alex, I just believe the offense is just going to overpower them. And since the Karl Anthony Towns era, they've been bounced out of the first round three times, only winning one game twice, and they got two wins in one series as well.
Mm.
And I just think that Anthony Edwards is not enough, I don't think. I know they're a great team, but the Suns have been 3-0 against them this year. And they kind of have bad blood going into this series, especially playing a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I have one stat that I wanted to touch on. The Suns were great all the year against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they have 124 points per 100 possessions, which for the Timberwolves, that's the most they've given up amongst any team by a lot. Mm-hmm. So this is just a first-round nightmare for Minnesota. And I think they're going to have to rely on a lot of big performances from Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns. And they're going to have to out-rebound, which I think they could.
Hmm.
But it's going to be tough to beat the Suns. I don't think the Suns really – I don't know if they go to the finals or Western Conference finals even, but I think
– deep run for the Suns. Wow.
I don't think they will. But I think that they got this first round. I think they should be very happy with this team that they're playing against.
Definitely.
Yeah, I got one, but I'm going over to the Eastern Conference, and this would make me really happy, and I know producer Max would be very happy about this,
too.
Oh,
you got it, too?
You got the Pacers?
Of course, I got the Pacers.
And it comes down to this, right? So last night, I'm listening to my podcast. I love the Off the Pike podcast, shout out. But they're talking about how Giannis is hurt. Obviously, he strained the calf against the Celtics in, game 80 or 79, whatever, towards the end of the season, and he's not by any means full strength. And they brought up an interesting point, so I looked up for myself. Giannis in the past five games Giannis has averaged 42 points, 13 boards, 5 assists in his last five games against the Pacers. And he hasn't played, the Bucks haven't played the Pacers with Pascal Siakam yet. So I think that's going to be a huge kind of piece, key piece for them. I think Siakam, you know, he's solid. I think he's borderline a good, like he's pretty good, especially surrounded by this Pacers team. One thing I would be worried about for the Pacers is just Tyrese Haliburton. I think he's shooting like 34% from three since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something to look out on. But I just think if Giannis is hurt and this Pacers team can score, I mean, they had one of the best offenses this year. We'll see how the defense tightens up. They don't have a lot of experience, if any. But yeah, I'm picking the Pacers to take out the Bucks in this round, first round.
Yeah, I love that. I've got the Pacers as well. I just think they just have the Bucks number. Like, I mean, this year they're 4-1 the regular season against the Bucks, and since the coaching change, like, listen, Doc Rivers, Celtics legend, got us a chip, but now, like, he's just not that good. He's 17-19 with the Bucks since he took over, and
he's been doing some questionable things with the lineup.
Most definitely, yeah. I really just think Doc, like, What a weird hire. I don't love that call from Bucks GM. And I really think this is a Tyrese Haliburton. I think he goes crazy in this series. I think Indiana gets it done in six. I really think this Giannis injury is giving me major Kevin Durant in 2019 vibes. Like, it's a calf. I really think this could be, you know, something greater, a worse injury if he really tries to force it. And I think he ends up really not forcing it till game five or six. I think the Pacers, they get it done. I think the six-seed Pacers move on against the Bucks. And now moving into more of the a star player in this playoff, someone who's really going to light it up, a playoff MVP. I'll start it off. I've got Luka Doncic. I think he's got a total revenge arc that is playing perfectly into these playoffs. He should have won MVP. He averaged 34-9-9, even though I know Jokic, like, he's been fantastic. He's a great player. But I think, personally, Luka was the most valuable player. I think he provided the most value. Him and low-key
Jason Tatum.
It's always Jason Tatum. And I honestly think Luka, I think he goes crazy. I think he sweeps the Clippers in round one. I think they make easy work of them. I think he beats OKC in round two, averaging 35, 37 a game, you know, some big numbers. And I think, you know, he eventually loses to Denver in the conference finals because Denver is probably going to end up being too much. But I think Luka Doncic averaging 35-point triple-double would not be crazy, in my opinion, for Luka. I think he goes to the conference finals as the 5 seed and eventually loses to Denver, but absolutely will be the best player in the playoffs.
I guess I'll go next. I have more or less two from each conference. Depending on how far the Knicks can go, I've got Brunson as really their star. I think he could average 30. You know, my roommate, talk about a Jalen Brunson glazer. But if we're going over to the Western Conference, I think I would agree with you, Luka Doncic. I think he could average like 35, pull off for maybe a 50-point game. And also, I think the Mavs do make it far. Really like their front court. Yeah.
Okay, I'll go on to my playoff MVP. Kind of building off what you guys said about the Bucks taking the fall first round, I kind of think the opposite. I think that the Bucks will beat the Pacers, and I think that Giannis might play, maybe not game one or two, but I think he comes back on a minutes restriction, especially if they split those first two games. If they go down 0-2, I think we could definitely see Giannis.
Yeah,
if
definitely.
They go 1-1, we could definitely see Giannis as well. If they're up 2-0, we don't know if we'll see Giannis game three, but I don't think they're going to be up 2-0. I think it'll probably go to 6 or 7, like you said. But my playoff MVP is going to be Damian Lillard. This is the first year that we've seen Dame and Giannis, and it hasn't gone to plan exactly, but imagine this, not going to plan has landed them at the 3 seed. So imagine if they can figure it out. I know Doc Rivers hasn't been good, but it's no secret. Giannis runs the team. Doc Rivers is more or less kind of just the stand-in coach. I think something happened behind the scenes, which is why they cut their first coach, but they do have in-season tournament beef. You remember Haliburton hit the shot, did the Dame time celebration. I think Damian Lillard's going to come right back. I think this series could go either way. That's kind of why I'm leaning with a little bit of a hot take, because I wanted to make it interesting. And I want to say that Dame is going to take advantage. He hasn't seen the playoffs since 2021.
Jeez.
Yeah, I think Damian Lillard has a lot of chance to kind of put his legacy on the line. I don't know what this Bucks team looks like in the future, especially with if they don't succeed this playoffs. I think it's going to be another coaching change. I think this is just a legacy playoffs for Dame, and I got him as my MVP.
How far you think Dame can take him, like, especially if Giannis is out? I could totally see him being like dropping 40 a game. Like, that could totally be somebody who's really the playoff MVP.
Well, we've seen in the past Giannis is a player that's a big difference maker, but is a little bit of a like floor clogger a little bit. So I think with the right spacing, Dame could kind of be have no ceiling. We can see anything from Damian Lillard. We've seen it in the past. He's kind of been – hasn't been untapped yet in the postseason just because he's run into the Warriors dynasty and all that in the West in his – prior in his career. But yeah. I think this year going to the East, I think Damian Lillard can kind of the sky is the limit for him. That's why I have him. If I didn't pick Dame, I probably would have leaned to a more obvious pick like Jokic or Luka or something. But I really wanted to just kind of see what Dame can do, and I'm interested. I'm going to be watching that.
I like that.
Yeah, one thing on the Bucks though, I do think like that's a great take. The only thing I'm worried about with Dame is his efficiency. I know he can score. I think everybody knows he can score.
Of course.
But especially with Giannis out, and especially because one thing about the Bucks is their defense is terrible, and everybody kind of suspected that as the season started, but especially now with Giannis out, you don't have that rim protection. And Dame is a defensive liability, especially at this point in his career. So I could totally see the Pacers just getting him in action early, going after him, running him down, and then maybe Dame does go for 35, but he's going to be doing it on like 35% shooting.
Yeah. I agree. But I think if Giannis does come back, he's only doubtful as of right now for the first couple games, I would say.
Yeah.
But I think if they split the first two games or even go down, I think we definitely see Giannis. I don't think that he's just going to throw in the towel. But what Milwaukee has been lacking throughout the past 5 years has been a closer and a good volume shooter. Chris Middleton is not that.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton has been looked at to be the closer in the past couple years because with the game on the line, Giannis is not going to take you off the dribble and pull up for a jump shot to get a bucket.
No
it's either a layup, not to say that he's not a dominating player because he is, but when it comes down to it, they've been lacking that closer. They've been lacking a big volume shooter that can go get a bucket at any given moment. And I think now that they have it, I think that this is really going to be a good test for the Indiana Pacers as a young team. And I think they have a team for the future. But I think right now, I think it's still Milwaukee. I think it's still Dame. I think it's still Giannis.
That's fair.
All right, well, I think a lot of people might know where I'm going with this
possibly
one. It's
be?
Not Jason, but it's the other Jay.
Hey. Oh, my God.
Nah. And that's fine, but what happens in the playoffs, right? The defense tightens up, and teams are going to make you take the quote-unquote worst analytical shots possible, and what shot is that? It's the mid-range jumper. And Jaylen Brown, that's where he makes his money. And because of this point, and I don't want to be like a crazy homer, I can see Paul George having an amazing playoff run too.
Yeah.
Just because like he's a mid-range weapon as well. And I think especially in the playoffs, you know, you've seen it 2 years ago when the Celtics met the Warriors in the finals. A lot of the reason was because Rob Will went down, but they couldn't get it done in the mid-range. And when they're not hitting their threes and they're not getting to the rim, the mid-range is where you got to kind of stem the tide. And I think that's where a guy like Jaylen Brown, a guy like Kristaps, kind of gets the ball, knocks down a jumper, and then gets them hot. Another thing I like about Jaylen's game, especially in the playoffs, is the above-the-break three. So that's the three right where the corner meets kind of the arc. And that's another bad analytical shot. But you saw it against the Warriors when the Celtics blew the doors off them earlier this season. They just let Jaylen shoot. And Jaylen, I'm not trying to say, oh, Jaylen's, you know, this marksman from three. He's not. He's an average shooter, below average three-point shooter. But I think he's on the cusp of All-NBA this season. He's definitely a second-teamer. A second-team All-NBA guy paid the Supermax should be able to hit these open threes. And I think the Celtics have so many weapons, so I think it's going to leave Jaylen open for a lot of these shots. And that's why I think a lot of people aren't thinking him. I know he's had his struggles in the postseason, especially with the left hand and all the turnovers, but I'm really hoping he put that behind him because I think if Jaylen can just step up for the team and hit his mid-range shots, Celtics will have a lot of success.
Definitely. And moving more towards, you know, the champion, the NBA title, you know, I have a pretty good idea what me and Enzo's champion are, but I'd love to hear it. Alex, who is your NBA champion for the 2024 season?
I got the boring answer, which is the Nuggets. They're the most complete team. They won last year. I just don't think that the East wins this year, and I'm really just kind of looking at the West towards it. And I've got the lower round or the lower seed pick, which is the Mavs. I think that they could have a chance to win it, but then mainly I'm looking at the Nuggets. I could look at their matchup versus every single team and just be like, yo, the Nuggets can win.
They're gross. The Nuggets are inevitable.
Okay, so I'm going to say the Nuggets as well, but just to – he basically covered everything I'm about to say, and I would probably guess an Eastern Conference team, but I'm going to stay in the West – And I'll probably have to say the Clippers. If I think that it's not going to be the Celtics or the Nuggets, I'm just trying not to say the same thing as you guys, because I think I have the Nuggets written down, but I don't want to say Nuggets and I don't want to say Celtics because of you guys. But I think we're going to see the Clippers really kind of – this is the last chance that we're going to see Kawhi and Paul George. So I think just for the sake of being interesting for the podcast, I think I'm going to have to say the Clippers. I hate that because I want to say the Knicks. I just don't know if the Knicks are built enough to win.
Not
I
yet.
Think
not
I,
yet.
Yeah, that's exactly that's not yet.
I think ECF.
Brunson would be a legend if he did that.
Yeah, it would be unreal. It would be something that – the NBA hasn't seen for a while, kind of getting to the NBA championship without that superstar. I don't know if Jalen Brunson is a superstar yet. As a Knicks fan, I'm saying that.
But
I do kind of want to circle back to the Nuggets a little bit. They are the most complete team, and I think if I had to put money on it, I would probably guess the Denver Nuggets. They just don't get talked about enough because they're so good. There's a reason why.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Obviously, I'm going with who else but your Boston Celtics.
Who else could it be?
I mean, look,
you got to pick someone. Okay, explain it, and then after, just pick another team because you guys are being just
the
biased.
Boston Celtics.
It's the best team in the league. They're 64-18. To your point, the Nuggets are the most dominant. I think they have the. They definitely have the most dominant player. But when you're talking lineup, top to bottom,
great starting five.
You just have Derrick White. You have Jrue, you got Jalen, you got Jason, and you got Kristaps, and barring no injuries, if the Celtics don't win this year, I was talking about this with Dot last night when we were watching the play-in. The only thing, I mean, obviously I'd be still heartbroken, but if the Celtics lose to the Nuggets, I can live with it.
Yeah,
but I still think they can beat them. I mean, they had two close games with them. I was at the one where they lost by 2 points. Jason Tatum missed the fall-away jump shot to tie it, but I think the key for the Celtics is you got to get up, you got to go ahead, get up early, and just keep going. You see this team in past years just totally let off the gas and just kind of let the game get away from them, and then they try to make stupid plays, turn the ball over. But if they can, and that's another thing we were talking about, if they can get up against the Heat in round one, and that's really scary for Boston fans. But just to get some of that bad juju out.
Get over quickly.
If you just go out and roll the Heat in five or four games.
Need that.
I think the Celtics are just, I don't know, nobody can stop them. They seem to be more motivated than ever. I know it's the boring pick because they're the best team, but it's my team. And
of course.
And
they're winning this year. They're the C's. No, of course I got the Celtics as well. Just they're the most dominant point differential we've had in years. I just think this is Tatum and Brown's year. We have one of the greatest starting fives in right now regular season history, which will I think will translate to postseason history. But I mean, if you want to talk about a team besides the Celtics that could go to the chip, you know, I'll really go with the outside pick. This is definitely one you're not going to bet. Well, you'd win quite a bit of money if you won this bet. But I'm gonna say. I think the Los Angeles Lakers got the best possible matchup they could have gotten. Listen, it's Denver, and here's why it's the best possible matchup. The first round. Think about LeBron and AD. These are aging players. What do you not want to do with old aging players? Play every other day. What's the round with the one round where it's not almost every other day or like very consistent games? Round one. Round one, you got 2 to 3 days to 4 days in between games. You get rest. You get more. You get relaxed. Listen, I know the Nuggets own them. I know the Nuggets own them right now. Okay. But I think the Lakers, if they can do the impossible. If LeBron can do one more amazing playoff run.
Okay, that is true because the Lakers did put up a really good fight against the Nuggets last year in the finals or in the Western Conference finals.
Yeah, trust. We trust in LeBron.
I like the fun pick.
I think LeBron can get it done.
I want to ask what you guys think of this. So there was talk before last night's game that the Lakers should intentionally lose to play the Thunder in the first round as opposed to the Nuggets.
Yeah.
And it's like it's funny to say,
yeah.
But that like would you have thought that would have been the smart play to go play the Nuggets or to go play the Thunder versus the Nuggets.
Definitely, no. Yes, and here's why. Shea is an amazing talent. I think that in the next 5, 6, 7, 10 years even, the Thunder are going to be really, really good. They could win a championship in their near future, no doubt about it. But Shea, this is his first – like, he was good last year, but this is his first year where he's really putting his name in the books and saying, look, I'm the guy now. Like, I'm top five. I'm – like, he's in the conversation. He was in the MVP running, but – he hasn't done anything in the playoffs. Has he been to the playoffs yet? I think so.
When Chris Paul was on the team, Chris Paul was like a rookie, but he wasn't a big player.
He wasn't a big player. He has no experience. And like I said, the defense is so much tighter in the playoffs. And for the Thunder to win, I think they're going to have to be perfect. I think they could flame out in the first round, honestly. And just because I don't think Shea's ready yet. And that's not an indictment on him. It's just it takes time to know how to play. The regular season and the playoffs is a very different game. So I think the Lakers, I mean, although you don't want to throw games and lose on purpose, that's kind of conflicting.
That's what the conversation was about.
If
they were to just sit LeBron or AD.
Yeah, and I mean, look, like I think the Lakers did the right thing. They went out, they played their hardest, it was good basketball, and they won the game. And I hope the Lakers have success. I would love for the Lakers to beat the Nuggets so that the Celtics don't have to go through them.
We see this also with teams that get first round byes, and they come in and they play the team that's coming off a big win.
Yeah.
So the Lakers are coming in rolling off a playoff victory already into a series.
A really good point.
We see it in football, we see it in baseball, where the best teams actually get the bye, and it's seemingly an advantage.
Yeah.
But also, you're not getting like reps in the postseason up until a team that's already coming in is coming off a win. So I think that the Lakers are really going to have to ride that high if they want to compete with the Nuggets. Yeah. I don't hate it, and I would think that if they could get by the Nuggets, they're going to be the team to beat in the West, because they would have to be playing the best basketball all season that they've played. I don't know if Darvin Ham or LeBron is even ready to do that.
I think LeBron is, but I don't think Darvin
is. I don't think Darvin Ham is. Darvin Ham, his lineups have been very questionable.
It's not just going to be LeBron, though. It's going to be having Lakers role players really step up.
It's going to be Reeves. It's going to be D'Lo.
D'Lo legacy.
It's going to be Gabe. It's going to be a guy like Gabe Vincent in Game Three.
We know him too well.
It's funny because it really could happen, and you want to always say don't bet against a guy like LeBron with someone of such pedigree in the playoffs as LeBron. But when you look at it, what really else has he done in a Lakers uniform opposed from 2020, where they had the quick restart and it was just kind of like a round robin all around? I don't discredit that championship as much as other people do, but really, this could be LeBron's last experience in a Lakers uniform. I don't know where he goes.
I think he should leave.
And I think it's going to be indicative of who drafts Bronny, if he even gets drafted. It's gonna play some parts in it, and I think it's going to be an ugly offseason for the Lakers.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. Now, moving over to, you know, the real meat and potatoes, the the real, what we're all here for.
This
the
is fun.
NFL Mock Draft 1.0. We've been talking about the draft for the last 2-3 weeks, and it's finally here. The first official mock drafts from all of us. It's going to be quite a few draft picks to talk about. Alex, start us off. PFF zone.
Are we going to go, like, sorry, are we going to go right down the list, or are we going to go, like, you give your one, then one?
Yeah, okay. Ooh. I want to say one thing. I'm going to do just significant picks, because I just don't want to be saying, like, one, two, all that. I'm just going to give significant picks from what I think is going to most likely happen. I'm not saying for sure, but I kind of had fun with this, and I kind of have some hot takes. I just wrote a message to Alex. I just changed it up completely. I'm only going to do significant picks.
I like that. I would say go everyone's one, guys, and go then two, and then three, because if like down the list kind of like gets like lost, let's go everyone's one.
You can skip me if it gets to it, because I'm just gonna I'm just gonna only give significant ones.
That's perfectly fine.
So I guess we'll start. I think that the clear number one pick is Caleb.
Yeah,
I think anybody's disagreeing.
Everybody's got it. Move on.
Yeah,
that's free.
So for the Commanders, the quarterback that I've really driven towards, and the film that I liked the most outside of Caleb, has just been Drake May. I think he has a ton of potential, so I have him going at two to the Commanders.
I got Commanders taking a QB, but it's Jaden Daniels.
Same here.
I have Jaden Daniels as well.
I think the Commanders are honestly, I think Drake May is the right pick. I totally agree with you, Alex. But I think the Commanders are just such a poverty organization.
Incredibly.
And they're going to get blinded by the Heisman Trophy and the rushing upside with Jaden. And look, Jaden might be an incredible quarterback. I'm not discrediting his talent at all. But I just think, again, for all the reasons you're saying, I think Drake May has the superior tape. I think he's the superior player. But I just think, for whatever reason, Commanders are going to go with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, same mindset here. I just think they make the wrong pick.
I think I think Daniels has been the clear-cut number two for a little while now. I don't think we should overthink it. Yeah.
So I think everybody's going to have a somewhat of a different pick for the Patriots. I have Jaden Daniels because I went the next best quarterback, in my opinion.
As one would do.
Yeah, so I went 1-2-3, but then
I got J.J. McCarthy,
sadly the same pick.
Which sucks because that would mean Drake May was still on the board in my list, and we could have had him. Justin Herbert, 0.2, whatever you want to call it. But
2.0.
J.J. McCarthy, look, we saw this with Mac Jones. I'm praying to God that the new management is like, oh, look, we made this mistake with Mac Jones, a game manager with a very low ceiling, and you're not going to win like that. So I think hopefully they learn from their mistakes and pick Drake May, but J.J. McCarthy, he went to Michigan. Like, yeah, I think
this is about as big as a smokescreen that we have seen since 2021 Mac Jones. I don't think McCarthy touches number three. It's going to take a trade up for him to get into the top five.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I have.
If it stays as it is now, I don't think he touches the top five. I think it's just I think they're just saying McCarthy to deter other teams from Drake May, and I think there may, like, I don't know. I think it's Drake May at three. Mm,
that's fair. I've got McCarthy.
You guys
well.
Know how I feel about J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, we've had very long conversations about J.J. McCarthy.
I hate this so much. I hate that he's so getting so much attention.
It's
man.
Crazy. Just our acting GM, Elliot Wolf, there's been plenty of reports that he loves him, and I think it's right now it's like 60-40, because I don't think it's like 100% draft J.J. McCarthy, but like right now I think just most
on what grounds does Elliot Wolf have to come in and just instantly make a mistake like that? Like, just take the safe pick.
Yeah.
I don't get why he would do that.
It's so bad. But moving on to probably a more consensus pick. LT,
yeah, so does anybody else have a trade-up for four?
No.
Okay, so then it's Marvin?
Yes, yeah. Marvin.
Okay.
That was a nice, yeah, all
I think,
agreed.
Yeah, I think he leads. I think it makes the Cardinals a frisky 8-9 win team. I love him really good.
Can you kind of talk about just how good Marvin Harrison really is?
I think he's the best. Well, he's the best wide receiver prospect I've ever seen.
Because I know you're very high on him.
Very. He's my number one player in this class. He's in Ja'Marr Chase. If we're talking about how he came out year one and was immediately like what 1,300 yard receiver,
yeah, he was nuts.
Killer. Justin Jefferson, killer. And I think Marvin Harrison like immediately comes in like 1,400 yards, Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. This dude is 6'3", 209 pounds. Jesus, he has 6'3", he's insane insane route running. Some of the best releases I've seen off the line. He's seen every double team in the book. Great route runner. Great player IQ. He's a very smart player. He's a very good person as well. Gives back to charity. Love that a ton. Son of an NFL player for Marvin Harrison.
Does being a good guy...
He's a good person.
Does that go in?
I want a good person on my team.
I guess.
Somewhat.
I guess so.
But I mean, body control. One-of-one body control, really. Incredible as a high pointer. Fade route master. Marvin Harrison, he's that guy. I don't want to glaze too much.
Fantastic. Madden abilities.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Number five, this is where I have the trade-up spot. So, you know, Harbaugh's really playing chess. He's hyping up McCarthy a ton, and I think that's more of less a business move. We're going to try to entice the Vikings, who really have just been gearing up for a quarterback, traded for the 23rd overall pick. Going to package that to the Chargers to go up in five and then take J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, I have the same thing except the quarterback, just because he's still not off the board on my list, which I do think it's a great pick. It's just going to be Drake May. Same thought process. I think the Chargers they have the quarterback. They need to trade down, and then what do they need now? They need a weapon on offense so they can slide down, get that wide receiver, and maybe get a couple more assets back.
Yeah.
I'd stay with Enzo. We have identical mock drafts. So I've got the same thing. Drake May goes five to the Vikings.
That would be draft franchise saving for Minnesota, because keeps Justin Jefferson around, and that's not going to be a Randy Moss 2.0.
Yeah.
So
makes NFC North probably best division in football. Perhaps maybe they pass the AFC North. I think
I've heard
depends on how the Bears do.
Exactly.
I've heard arguments be made that Drake shouldn't start his rookie year.
I've heard that too. I was a little confused.
And I think J.J. McCarthy probably is more suited to not start his first year. This is just adding on to the hate for him. I mean, if the Patriots take J.J. McCarthy, this would just be hilarious. So.
Yep. Not for us Patriots fans. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you got the Celtics, so you can't be too greedy.
That's not too bad. Six to the Giants.
So for the Giants, I'm going to give them a blessing. Very good explosive player here with Malik Nabers.
Mm. Top five guy.
Love that.
Love that pick for the Giants. They need some explosiveness on offense. Yeah. And Nabers
same thing right here.
Clean sweep. Malik Nabers at six.
I hope so. I'm a Giants fan. I have them drafting a wide receiver. I would have guessed Rome Odunze, but I'm not sure if they trade out. It could just depend on trading.
You think they trade out?
No. Okay. For other teams. Yeah, if someone trades up and drafts Rome beforehand. I'm not sure, though, but I think the Giants will probably take either Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze.
Sounds like a great pick.
If we're going to seven, I think the consensus pick for the Titans is Joe Alt. Yeah. Yeah. Love Joe Alt. Stallworth, best tackle in football for the last 2 years.
Yep.
Clean sweep.
Yep.
Yeah, perfect. On to number eight.
So this is the most – everybody has a different answer for what the Falcons should do at eight. I have my favorite edge rusher. A lot of people picked Dallas Turner. I go Le'Veon to Latu. Latu's got a crazy bag of pass rush moves, good athletic guy. Converts pressure at he had a 26.2% pass rush win rate. So that is my pick for the Falcons.
Not Dallas Turner.
Okay. He's a bit inconsistent, and a lot of his sacks come off of like crazy explosive plays, and then he goes silent for the next 10 snaps. Okay. Le'Veon Tulatu is it's a pressure every 4 snaps.
I have Dallas Turner.
Same
going
here.
To the Falcons.
I got Verse.
Different edge rushers.
No, because you know, just because. Not to cut you off, this will be quick because I really didn't do my homework on this one, but just because Jared Verse is, you know, I'm trying to spice it up. The draft, everyone says the draft is like, nobody knows what's going to happen.
I like Verse. You never know. I like Verse.
But yeah, I've got Turner as well. I think best edge rusher, in my opinion, for nine of the Bears. This is really where you could really do anything.
Yeah, the Bears could go edge rusher or wide receiver. I'm picking BPA here, which is Romo Dunze. Mm-hmm. I think that's just... That just kind of fits what they would really need. Keenan Allen, you have the short guy. You have DJ Moore, who is an explosive after the catch threat guy. And then you have Roma Dunze, just throw it up. And, I mean, that's the best player available outside of Brock Bowers at this pick.
I have Roma Dunze as well in my mock just because I had Nabers at the Giants. But I kind of would swap the two. I just don't know why they would draft a receiver when they could go out and get an edge, but I think they're going to draft
a receiver.
Receiver
is a more valuable position, especially when you get Caleb Williams. Yeah. Give him all the help you can possibly get.
Have a young guy along with Caleb. I think that would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I went to Dallas Turner, but I could totally see the
I think they could use an edge.
I've got a Dunze as well.
Dunze. And then for the Jets, this is kind of – they can kind of go wherever they want. It just depends on what position they're really looking for. As a Jets fan myself, I went with a luxury pick, which is Brock Bowers. He's my third player on my board. I think he's a generational tight end prospect, so that's what I went with.
You really want Brock Bowers.
I like I think you could take talent, the best talent as possible. Don't get a need that is reaching on the board. Get the best player available, even if it is a luxury. But they need tight end next year anyways. Tyler Conklin's only got one more year left.
So you think avoid like Latham at tackle?
I mean,
because what we've seen from Rodgers is that it's gonna take a big line to protect Aaron Rodgers.
Really,
I think this is their window. I don't think that a tight end adds to that championship.
Especially
window.
Brock's not a blocking tight end. Although
not
I do,
at all.
I have him too as the Jets pick. So
okay, I have them taking Latham at 10.
I've got Fuaga. I've got the tackle. Okay. I've got because I just
two
think
right
same,
tackles.
Same reasoning. I just think like. You got to protect Rodgers as much as possible. Even though Brown is amazing, I just think as much protection as possible.
It's kind of more or less the conversation. If which one do you value more? Do you value his? Do you value the more weapons he has, or do you value the more protection he has?
Yeah.
Do you take into account Mike Williams being added onto the roster when you're taking?
No,
like, he's off an ACL though.
No,
he could really fall.
I'm not factoring him in too much.
I think that Mike Williams was a little bit of insurance for the weapon.
Yeah.
Which I think could show why they kind of showed their hand a little bit and they might be going tackle. But I think Brock Bowers will be the smart pick.
Well, they also they traded for Morgan Moses from the Ravens. Yeah. They signed Tyron Smith, so they got those tackles. It just depends on the luxury, which I'm going tackle in the third round. I think it's a deep tackle class. Okay. So
that's fair. Number 11.
That was the trade up. So
same here. Trade up as well.
So I have for the Chargers. I have Adonai Mitchell. Very very high on him. Phenomenal route runner. He had a 9.99 RAS score, which is relative athletic score.
Yeah.
And 4.3 speed. Great route runner. It just the only thing is he's a bit. You know, people call him a diva. And only had really 1 year of phenomenal production at Texas.
Mm. Okay. I got him drafting Latu edge, but that's it.
Mm.
I got, just because he's not off my board yet, Rome to the Chargers.
I think one wide receiver will slip, so it's possible.
Yeah.
That's true. I've got Foshanu to the Chargers. I just think they want to beef up the O-line. I know he's like a... Is he a raw prospect? I'm pretty sure.
He's not. Okay. The raw tackle prospect in this class is Amarius Mims. But Fuaga is. I mean, he played so many snaps. The sacks and pressure numbers are a bit inflated, but his movement, he moves like a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
His kick slide, is really phenomenal.
Yeah. So I've got fashion into the Chargers. So I just got to beef up the O-line.
At number 12, I have for the Broncos. This is kind of where you could go with another quarterback. Mm. I just don't think, personally, I would draft Nix or Penix this early. Yeah. I think it would have to be a trade-up spot later in the first round. So I am going to go with Jared Verse here at 12. Mm.
I want to say that this is where I thought McCarthy's ceiling would be. Mm. And I think I even said that on the last podcast. Yeah. I thought he was going to not go in the top five, but now, obviously, I think it's getting more of a reality that we'll see him in the top five. Mm. I really wish I could put for the mock, just for the sake of it, McCarthy. Mm. But I think they're going to go edge here, and I think it's just going to be whatever edge is left on the board.
Mm. Yeah, I got a little trade in this spot.
No way. Okay. Let's hear your trade.
Dude. Don't say it.
I got the Broncos trading down to the Bengals.
Oh, to the Bengals.
Is that what you have or no?
No.
Okay. He's laughing.
I have them trading down to the Bengals. They got Cam Taylor Britt. Let's add another superstar on the corner, Quinyon Mitchell.
Oh. Okay.
Because similar to your point about how it is way too early for Bo Nix or Michael Penix or someone like that, I totally agree. So, and the Broncos need a quarterback. Why don't you just trade down, get some assets, and then you take Bo Nix, or then you take Penix? That's just my reasoning there, but
that's fair. I've got same reasoning for Denver. I've got them seeing even McCarthy like not slipping out of the first. Like I've got like when they see all the quarterbacks being taken, they're like they're not first round like high first round worthy talent. So I've got them trading with the Rams. I have the Rams trading up to get Fatanu. I have them trading Fatanu, the tackle, and Denver going to 19. We'll see what they take there at 19 for the Raiders.
And you traded up with who, the Rams?
The Rams. Rams go to 12 and take Fatanu.
So then this is 13 now for the Raiders. Again, another team that I think could take quarterback, but I'm not taking that one for them. I'm going with Terrion Arnold. Oh. I really like his fit within the Raiders, especially with Antonio Pierce. Mm-hmm. I think that also Terrion Arnold is my favorite cornerback. To put a little backstory for him, he was a five-star safety coming out of high school, converted to cornerback, can play within the slot and the boundary, 5 interceptions last year. He out of all the cornerbacks in this draft, he popped the most on tape.
Definitely see that.
I have the Raiders trading down for this, and I'll say that later. I already told Enzo what I think it's going to be. It's kind of a hot take.
Yeah.
But I have them trading down, so just skip me.
Well, who do you have taken at 13?
I have Fontenot.
Okay. So for my 13, I've got Terrion Arnold as well. I've got pretty similar reasoning. In my opinion, it's like the Raiders have been like they've been so trash with the draft like lately who's the defensive player they took at 4?
Tyree Wilson.
Yeah. Arnold. I think he was good. It was
it wasn't.
Quellen something. Yeah.
Well, Tyree Wilson was bad last year.
He was bad, okay, because I know the Raiders have been trash at the draft. In my opinion, Terrion Arnold's like the best pick they made in like a long time, and I think that he will be just a great corner out the gate. I think it's a fantastic pick for Las Vegas Raiders.
They've been messing up the draft. They overdrafted Leatherwood. I remember that.
Leatherwood, Wilson. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
I thought Wilson was – I liked Wilson last year, but they had so many bad – I mean
– they've had so many.
But moving on to the Saints, this is where I'm taking Tuliso Fuaga. Okay. Out of Oregon State, very good run blocker, great power, and they fills a need. Mm-hmm. Ryan Ramczyk has a degenerative knee issue or some issue.
I've got him, tackle as well.
I have Fashanu going to the Saints here, and I think they're just going to want to bolster the offensive line. I think this is kind of a punt year, especially in that division. It kind of could go with any team, so I think they're going to pick the safe pick here.
Yeah, I've got J.C. Latham, so we've got the old line as well. I just think Ramczyk, like, isn't it a career, like, threatening injury? Like,
yes.
He's got really, really bad cartilage issues in his knee.
Yeah, it's some, like, it's a degenerative issue.
Yeah, that it will be.
Yeah, this next pick is my hot take.
So. Oh, let's go.
The Colts. Mm-hmm. I have them going with Quinyon Mitchell.
Okay.
I really love Quinyon Mitchell as well. Freak athlete, 4-3 guy. It's just he's raw technically, and he didn't face a ton of good receivers at Toledo.
Mm.
I have them taking Brock Bowers. I have Brock Bowers not.
They have so many
taken.
Tight ends, though.
I think they're going to go best player available and get a young weapon for Anthony Richardson.
I like that.
This is the rookie year for Anthony Richardson. I think last year was just you can't really toss that up because he was injured so early. Yeah. I think they're going to go best player on the board here, and I'm anticipating a Bowers slip from 10. I don't think he's going there. Mm. So I think they're going to go best on the board. I think Brock Bowers, and I think that's going to be a nice duo for Anthony Richardson.
Mm. I like that pick.
I'm with you with the Bauer slip. I've got Cooper DeJean going to the Colts at 15.
Nice. Okay.
Terry and Arnold already getting picked, so like just next best corner on the board.
Yep.
The white boy corner represented.
Hope so, man. I don't have Cooper DeJean in the first round. I have Kool-Aid later in the round.
Oh, that's fair.
Going somewhere, but.
Yeah, I do have Cooper DeJean, but again, I think I have him later as well.
Yeah.
But for 17, the Jaguars, they do not have their secondary unit.
Wait, did
dropped
we skip 16?
Yeah, 16, the 16. Seahawks.
Oh, my bad, Dallas Turner. My bad.
That's a slip for him. That'd be a great.
I think he's my 15th player on the board. I think I can see what NFL teams are. I think they're going to see what I kind of see, where it's when you put on the tape, it is like a stud play. Explosive play, and then he goes quiet for the next 10 reps.
Yeah,
and he also doesn't have too much of a pass rush bag. But yeah.
Yeah.
Similarly to you going edge here, I have them going Jared Verse. I know Enzo was high on Jared Verse at the Falcons, but I have Jared Verse going here. I think they're going to go edge. They potentially could have gone quarterback if they wanted to trade down. They probably could have gotten Penix or Nix, but I think that them drafting Penix and having him sit behind Geno for a year would
be
pretty good.
I like that.
But
I don't think Penix, he's 24.
I know he's 24. He's 24, but he's going to be this new era of quarterbacks where they're riding them out on their rookie contracts. So if you're going to ride a rookie contract out, rather have him be older than younger. You know what I mean?
Mm,
if you're
going to
play a guy on his rookie contract, you may as well have a guy that's experienced.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I've got Jared Verse.
But Jared Verse is my pick.
Yeah, same
yeah.
there.
So going back to the Jaguars, their secondary unit is very bad. They cut Darius Williams. Rashad Jenkins, I think, also got cut.
Mm.
So I'm going to alleviate that need with Kool-Aid McKinstry, a guy who I think can man a boundary role.
Okay. Mm. I have Brian Thomas Jr.
Same here.
DJ.
Yeah, and I saw Enzo, just to give Enzo a little bit of credit. Mm. He had Cooper DeJean here at the Jaguars. I saw his mock, but yep.
Definitely, yeah. Brian Thomas Jr. as well. Their wide receivers, Ridley left. They're relying on Zay Jones and
Christian Kirk.
I just think get Brian Thomas in there.
They got two Gabe Davises.
Don't see why I... Do you think Jaguars are going to give Trevor Lawrence an extension?
Yeah, yes. I don't see why not.
Okay. 100%.
I don't see why not. For the Bengals here, was it Enzo that traded up? Who traded up with the Bengals?
Enzo did trade.
Enzo's got Broncos,
So he's got Broncos here.
But for the Bengals, I have them going with Byron Murphy II, my favorite interior defensive lineman.
Okay. I had Ladd going here. I don't know.
Ladd at 18.
Yeah, I have Ladd McConkey going here. And I think just the T. Higgins kind of saga is going to want to protect Joe Burrow's weapons. I think Jamar and Ladd coupled together, Ladd's more of a speed threat. I know his production wasn't the best at Georgia, but I think his like talent outweighs the numbers that were shown.
Yeah, phenomenal route runner. Extremely good footwork.
Yeah. I've got the same kind of logic, but I've got Bowers to the Bengals. I think
that's a big slip.
I know, huge. I think they signed Gesicki, but he had 244 yards last year. As someone who was on the Patriots, I really didn't think he did that good. I think him getting Bowers, they go all in because Higgins is probably gone. You would assume he's gone
next
for this
year.
And they got to pay Chase. So I think they get Bowers and they just go chips in the middle this year. And I think it really prepared them to, top two seed AFC.
And then for the Rams here now at 19, I went back-to-back interior defensive lineman going with Jazan or Johnny Newton, however you would say it. But Jazan Newton to the Rams, Aaron Donald, replace him with another phenomenal defensive lineman.
Similarly to that mindset of kind of replace Aaron Donald, I have Byron Murphy here.
Byron Murphy.
Awesome. Best defensive lineman in the draft.
Yeah.
So
the Broncos trading back here. This is where they take Knicks, in my opinion. I just think getting value and getting your guy is just kind of perfect for them. And I think that, the run up, they just need to run on QBs and they don't go on their guy at 12, so they go to 19, get Knicks, and get some value.
I think if Bo Nix didn't stay 2 years at Oregon, I think he could have been a really good quarterback in last year's draft.
Last year's draft was good for quarterbacks, though. It wasn't a bad quarterback draft.
Maybe.
I think him leaving Auburn was
that was the best decision he ever made.
I was a big fan of him just at Auburn all that time.
Because I
kind of used to follow Auburn a little bit because I'm a big Cam Newton fan. So I liked Knicks at Auburn. I liked him as a freshman going into his senior year, but I think he should have just gone out last year.
His accuracy was so bad at Auburn.
Yeah,
that was his major flaw.
The thing was, when he went to Oregon, I had never known his mobility was such a big part of his game. Because when he went to Oregon, a lot of them were Jalen Hurts, rushing touchdowns, but I think he had 15 or 14.
He had
12.
Oh, 12 or 14. I don't know.
I think it was 14.
It probably was, but yeah.
Mm. For 20, Steelers.
Oh, you already went. Oh, you went with the Knicks. So a lot of Steelers fans were complaining in my comment section that I was ignoring offensive line. So I went with Amarius Mims. So you drafted another Georgia tackle last year and Broderick Jones. And this year I'm going to get the right side with Amarius Mims. Huge boomer bust guy, though. Mm. Only played around 600 total snaps at Georgia in 3 years. Multiple injuries. However, this dude allowed a pressure rate of sub 1%. And he's 6'8", 340 pounds. Jeez. Dude's massive.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold up. I lost my...
For the Steelers, I've got Quinyon Mitchell. I just think he's great, great prospect corner. I think just makes their cornerback room stacked with Joey Porter Jr. on one side. They've got what's the other corner? I don't know the corners, but they've got a good quarterback room. And adding Quinyon, just their defense will get even better. It's the Steelers. They love defense.
So now they got a slower but man press technique guy, and now they got the off coverage.
Yeah,
fast. Hands guy.
Okay.
There you go.
I got JPJ, Jack Spires Johnson.
Ooh, love the pick.
Spending time with Mike Tomlin at Senior Bowl. I don't know if anyone saw that. Mm. And also coupled with the protection, you have a very cheap quarterback this year. Please take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Protect him. I know Russell Wilson is getting literally paid by the Broncos to go succeed on the Steelers.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to run out fields in some formations still. I don't think they have him on the bench, an athlete like that.
Yeah.
So I think protect these guys behind the center at all costs. And I got JPJ going to pick 20.
That's my next pick with the Dolphins, JPJ. Mm-hmm. Love Jack Spires Johnson. Dude's huge. And I think he will come into the league as the heaviest center, 328 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. I got Chop Robinson, edge going to Miami. I think the Miami Dolphins are going to be similar to this year. Good in the regular season, fizzle out, resulting into a loss in the playoffs. I don't think they're a very, team post for anything, but I think – that kind of edge rushers going out with injuries last year, I think they're going to want to get
Phillips,
some.
Jalen Phillips tore his Achilles.
And Chubb.
And Chubb went out with an injury as well.
That was sad. You see hard knocks?
Yeah. Brutal. I've got Byron Murphy replacing Christian Wilkins. Basically, that's kind of my mindset here. They lost their star D tackle, and Byron Murphy, great player. I think he comes in, does well.
All great picks for the Dolphins here.
Definitely.
For the Eagles, secondary was the biggest issue last year. Now I'm going to go with Nate Wiggins.
Same here.
4'2", 9 guy, about 173 pounds. So you might have to worry about that, but he played fine in man coverage. Great athleticism, great movement, good hip fluidity as well.
All right, I got Marius Wims. Mm. Sticking with the kind of Georgia trend in the last year's draft.
They take so many Georgia players.
Yeah,
man.
So... not much to really say. They're going to protect Jalen Hurts. So
definitely. Nate Wiggins as well.
Nate Wiggins, nice. I had a trade up here. Mm. So one of my friends is All 22 Films. You look it up. You could look him up on YouTube. Mm. He has been screaming for the Ravens to take tackle, as well as a lot of Ravens Twitter. So I have them trading up here to go with Olufoshanu.
Mm.
So now I do have Olufoshanu falling a bit. I am a little bit lower on him. That's because when I was watching his film, he faced JT Tuilomaloau from Ohio State, and the power rush and the bull rush was really getting to him. Allowed 6 pressures, allowed a sack. And as well as, I think, in the power department, he struggles sometimes to set the edge, but his agility and kick step and his flexibility, he can bend his back so far. So I do have him going at the Ravens, as well as Ronnie Staley has been really struggling, and now they have an opening at right tackle, so he can kind of play both spots.
All right, so are we going here assuming there's a trade or just straight up? Because I have
straight up.
Yeah,
I got Graham Barton going to the Chargers here. I think Harbaugh's just going to want to build up the line, protect Herbert. I think we could really see just kind of that, like, I don't want to say old Justin Herbert, but we saw when he was at his best. Past, so.
Definitely. For the Chargers here, I've got A.D. Mitchell from the trade where they get the 11-23.
I picked him earlier.
I think they need a wide receiver, and they get their wide receiver, and they get their tackle. I think it's a great draft for the Chargers.
Funny thing, I'll come back to that at 30, but I have the same pick with Graham Barton, but I'll get to that when I get there.
All right.
24 for the Cowboys. This is where I have Troy Fatanu going. Lose Tyron Smith, go get a left tackle with Fatanu.
All right, I got Tyler Guyton. Him. I got just – they're going to want to take an athletic offensive lineman, and I think this is the last year of Dak. Why not protect him? I don't know what Jerry Jones' plans are in the future with Dak, but, yeah.
Yeah. I've got Leatu Latu for Dallas. I just think they want to bolster that defense more. I have him on one side and Mike another. I think that would be fantastic defense, I think. Their defense really let them down last year in the playoffs. Like, they got gashed by the Cap backers, and they want to improve it.
Nice. For the Green Bay Packers, this is tackle all the way for me. no David Bakhtiari, I'm drafting J.C. Latham, best tackle on the board still for when I was doing this.
Okay, I got Quinyon Mitchell. I just have him falling. I was debating whether here I wanted to go Quinyon up in the draft and then pick Kool-Aid here, but I think it's going to be Quinyon Mitchell. They're going to be happy to see that they get the number one ranked cornerback. Is he your number one as well?
He's my two.
Who's Quinyon, your number one?
Tarion.
Okay.
Arnold.
Yeah, so I got Quinyon Mitchell here.
I've got, for the Packers, I got Mims. I got the same logic here, getting going tackle. I got Mims falling a decent amount. You guys had him pretty high. I've got him falling a decent amount to the Packers. You know, just both see O-line. Bakhtiari's gone. Pretty simple.
And then for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I've been really struggling to figure out where I kind of want to go. I've been going chop sometimes. I've been going, if Jackson Powell Johnson ever fell, I'd maybe go with him because Jensen retired. But I have Cooper DeJean, best player available still on the board right now, as well as they really only have Dean on the outside. You lose a slot guy with Murphy Bunting a few years back. And then Cooper DeJean, I think he fits best at the slot at the NFL level, so good to go with that for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, just going to kind of keep it quick here. I got Terry and Arnold. I think the Bucs are just going to want to go skill position again, and I think they're going to go cornerback. I have Cooper DeJean not in the first round. That may be a hot take, but yeah.
I've got Kool-Aid. I just think they go Kool-Aid. Corner as well. I think pretty simple. They just go the next best corner they can find.
And then for the Arizona Cardinals, this is also kind of where it could be corner or edge. I'm thinking defense mainly. Was 24. You picked Marvin with the first, with the fourth overall pick, really. So I have Chop Robinson going here. But again, if a cornerback falls like DeJean, McKinstry, I think they take cornerback. But how it ended up for me is Chop Robinson.
Kool-Aid. Not going to say much.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
I've got Johnny Newton. Pretty decent fall for him. But I think they go edge. Arizona will get the defense more bolstered after taking Marvin.
For the Bills, I think this is kind of. I have BTJ, Brian Thomas Jr. I think this is kind of the tailor-made fit, kind of replacing Gabe Davis. You trade away Stephon Diggs, too. I think they're going to double-dip on a receiver this year with more of a route runner in the second round.
Yeah.
But I have them going with the explosive threat with Brian Thomas Jr.
Mm. Yeah, I was looking at that as well. I had Brian Thomas Jr. going to the Jags to replace Ridley.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think this the void that Diggs is leaving, I think it's going to make them go wide receiver, and I think I see Troy Franklin maybe, but I don't know.
I've got Ladd McConkey, pretty similar reasoning.
These picks can go anywhere.
Yeah,
yeah. Really, once you get to the late round, it's anything.
This could really go whatever. But yeah, Ladd McConkey just replacing, not replacing Diggs. I mean, Diggs amazing, but Ladd McConkey filling a hole that they really need.
Especially with that route running and the short area quickness, I think that kind of replaces what Diggs does.
Definitely.
But for the Lions, so Cam Sutton, I think he's on the run right now.
Oh.
Yeah, no. So Cameron Sutton is on the run right now.
Okay.
I think for beating his girlfriend.
That's not great.
So that's very not great here. So I'm going to end up replacing him with that cornerback spot. I'm going to go with Kamari Lassiter. I don't hear a lot of people talking about Lassiter in the end of the first round, but I think there's a chance. The main issue with him is he ran a 4.64 at his pro day, which is not ideal, but he is very physical at the line of scrimmage, noticeably impactful in the run game, can fit right in within the slot, but you have Brian Branch, so I think slide on the boundary is fine. He allowed like a 50-something passer rating at the boundary last year, so I like that pick for the Lions.
Yeah, I got, similarly to you, I got Nate Wiggins. And
there,
I think Cam Sutton, I don't know, if they take cornerback, I think that kind of speaks volumes to what his future is looking like for the Detroit Lions. I don't know what he's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't really know what's going to happen. Wait, what's update on Cam Sutton?
I don't know if the Lions cut him, but I know he's on the run. Because the news reports that like they went
so
to his house and he's not there.
Yeah. So he's done. I think they go Nate Wiggins all day here.
I've got a Chop Robinson. I just think seeing the value there. They take the best player you can find.
And then speaking about, you picked Graham Barton earlier at 23. I'm at 30 because of the trade down. Now I have going Graham Barton.
Okay.
Love Graham Barton because he can play. He was listed at center on NFL Network. He was a guard at the pro day. Played left tackle all throughout his career at Duke. Very solid pass blocker as well.
All right. I have a trade out here. I have Michael Penix Jr. being traded up by the Raiders. I have the
Beautiful.
Raiders trading up for Michael
like
Penix
that.
Jr. Late round, why not? Yeah.
I think where all your quarterbacks are going, I think that's kind of what real life is going to mimic.
Yeah.
Penix late first, Knicks in that 20 range, and then all the guys in the beginning.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I've got Guyton. I just think, you know, replacing that tackle need. He's a good little tackle. Nothing
for the Ravens?
Yeah, for the Ravens.
Yeah, I think that's a great fit, as well as my next pick is going to be Tyler Guyton. The thing about Tyler Guyton for me is he's raw. He's very raw technically because he is a, his massive wingspan.
Yeah.
So what he likes to do is for edge rushers is kind of hug and envelop them and not really rely on hand fighting and technique that wise. But he's 6'7", 320 pounds, long wingspan, but a bit raw. And but I think for the 49ers, their biggest need is on the right side, and I think that's a great pick for the the Niners.
I got Malachi Corley here, just going to wrap it. because I'm just wrapping it up with skill positions. I wasn't putting too much thought into the final picks. I think just why not go get another weapon? Yeah.
I've got Jax Powers Johnson.
You like
that?
I've
got inside O line for the Niners improving. That's all I've got.
Yeah. So for Corley, that is the most that's got to be the most interesting pick. But I love it though. Mm. So the thing about Corley is his average depth of target was 5.5 yards, which is unheard of. So what Corley really is he was first in FBS screen yards with around 322, second in screen receptions, screen guy basically, but phenomenal after the catch. That's where most of his yards came from.
I think just building off of that, I think when you get to see a screen guy like that, you see a creative runner that can kind of maneuver around many tackles and kind of what they pictured Kadarius Toney could look like with that trade. I think that's what Corley could be. If anyone can make a wide receiver that's been kind of untapped, coming from a school like Western Kentucky, I think it's Mahomes and Andy Reid, and that just kind of build up schemes for him off the screens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he also is really, he's like 5'10", 210 pounds. He's built like a running back. But then, did you have your Chiefs?
For the Chiefs, I had Worthy. For the Niners, I had Jackson Powers Johnson. I've just got trying to make Tyreek 2.0, just an absolute blazer and wide receiver.
4-2-1.
And I think Mahomes already tweeted like something about Worthy that he liked him. And I just think Tyreek 2.0, maybe, perhaps.
And then I'll finish it off. Oh, I forgot to mention my Chiefs guy. Mm-hmm. I have Ladd McConkey. Oh, I do think Ladd McConkey is going to go a bit later. Just you production, just purely production.
That's fair.
He only had his max yards was like 700 something. Mm-hmm. But for Ladd McConkey, I think for the Chiefs, they have a lot of weird kind of specialty guys like Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney. I want a really solid route runner who can consistently separate, who has secure hands, and he's got 4.39 speed, but he doesn't use it too much. He doesn't go on a ton of go routes. But really like that short area, and especially because the Chiefs' average depth of target has gone down and down and down and down. Mm-hmm. Every couple of years, or especially this year, it was like 6.5 yards. So going to go with a short area guy with Ladd McConkey. Mm.
I think I mixed up. Did I say my Chiefs pick last one?
Did you have 49ers?
Yeah,
I don't think you went with
49ers. No, I did not go 49ers. I had Donnie Mitchell. I skipped by accident.
Donnie Mitchell
to 49ers.
I like that because Ayuk has kind of been like iffy, right?
Yeah, I followed them.
I like that.
I had those two mixed up. But yeah, it up with a Donnie at 31, Corley at 32.
Perfect. After that very long, very, very detailed mock draft, you know, just to wrap it up real quick, thoughts, locks, plus our best bets of the week. I'll start it off kind of going back to what we were saying about the NBA. I've got Pacers to beat the Bucks outright at plus 130, you know, in the series. I think they win in six. I think it's pretty, you know, what I was saying all about Tyrese going off. I just think Giannis won't come back. And I think at plus 130, it's a great price. And second pick, I've got, you know, my Boston Red Sox playing tonight against the Guardians. I've got them at minus 125.
They're hot right now.
Tanner Hawk on the mound. And, you know, I think they bounced back after a really tough loss yesterday. That was brutal when Kenley blew the save. And, I think Red Sox bounce back, get the win in Fenway. What about you guys?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
I have best for my favorite bet. I was looking at some of the odds for the NBA because I kind of want to stick there. I have the Heat winning in the play-in against the Sixers. It's at plus 180.
Ooh.
So the Sixers are favored. So I really like Heat
plus 180.
I really like the Heat. I would have picked the Heat even if they were favored.
Yeah,
but I think having the Heat as underdogs, you've seen Jimmy Butler. No, like it's well known he has a vendetta against the Sixers, and I'm not really sure if Embiid is gonna be fully healthy. But I got the Heat.
I like that.
So the Rockies are just like flat out one of the worst teams.
Rockies, man.
All right,
Rockies,
so I'm betting them. Betting against them every day. I'm gonna bet against them now. So Phillies, this is April 17th. So minus 1.5 for the Phillies. That could go up to like minus like 3.5. Like they're gonna get killed, man. They 0-5 last night. The Rockies, they're not, you know,
the poor Rockies.
I think they're the second worst team in the league now. The White Sox have only two wins, and then you got us.
Yeah, the Rockies burned me last week. Let's fade them this week. I love the logic there. Okay. But, yeah, that's all we got today. Appreciate listening and the extra long podcast. And, yeah, thank you, boys. Great time.
We'll look back on this when the NBA playoffs hopefully unravel.
NBA playoffs and when the NFL draft happens,
hopefully.
When our picks go 100%.
This is going to be one of the best NBA playoffs in a while. Like, every series has history. Every series has high stakes. I think it's going to be very entertaining.
Love that.
Yes.
Perfect.